Welcome to the BT Podcast with Sally Hughes, the straight-talking, no-nonsense podcast written and presented by me, Sally Hughes, and brought to you by Avon. Here we discuss a different topic each week on all manner of beauty issues, from the practical to the political, the deeply serious to the deliciously superficial, all with a host of industry experts at the very top of their game. As this is the last episode in the current series, I decided to go out with a bang. Makeup is the most fun, creative, and expressive part of the beauty industry, and there's no one better placed to improve your technique and solve all your dilemmas than today's guests. Sisters and makeup artists Sam and Nick Chapman are two of YouTube and Instagram's most popular beauty content makers. Their respective careers began on the shop floor at department store counters for MAC and Estee Lauder. But thanks to their inspired forward thinking and talent, more of which later, and the digital and social media revolution, they now preside over the PixieWoo empire, creating content, makeup brushes, red carpet and photo shoot makeup looks, a book, a documentary, oh, and four great kids between them. They are also, and I know I'm biased, two of the nicest, most generous and decent people in the industry. My podcast series could never be complete without them. Sam and Nick, welcome.
Oh, that was lovely.
That was nice. I feel like...
Thanks.
What can we add
like
to that?
Well enough.
I'm so glad you're here. There is just no way I could have done a show without you two because I love you both so much.
Oh, that's so
And obviously respect you so much professionally, but also because the number of questions we've had for you two has been off the chain. We've never had so many questions for any guest as I've got for you two today.
People don't know enough about makeup in the 10 years we've been on there plastering it on our faces.
Well, they can have a moment where you can have a kind of personal consultation with them via this podcast. But before we go on, I mentioned there at the top about how you got started, and it's just a story I'm never sick of hearing. So why don't you tell us how you ended up on the internet? Because you were so ahead of the curve.
Yeah, I think it was fully accidental. We didn't go into it with any kind of, you know, with any game plan at all. We had no idea that careers could be made on there. We had no idea that anyone could make money on there, really, did we?
We didn't even have computers.
That is true.
We didn't even have computers.
So it was fully accidental. I was 8.5 months pregnant with Olivia, who's now 11. And I was on a forum and someone asked me how to do a smoky eye. I said, you know what, I'm not going to take the time to write this out step by step because you won't be able to follow it. So I'll film it. And I stuck it on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And then she watched it. Other people watched it. And it made me feel actually pretty good about myself because you could only see me from the neck up. And I was pretty uncomfortable by that point at 8.5 weeks, months. And then I went off to have my daughter. And I said to Nick, I'm doing this thing on YouTube. Do you want to join me? And she did.
Yeah, I got a loan out to buy a computer, which I was already in massive debts with, but I just loved it. And it actually brought us two closer together because we kind of tolerated each other before.
Yeah.
You know, sisters didn't always get on.
Although you were really ahead of the curve and it was really innovative at the time, I think people don't realise how in your blood makeup and beauty already was. So you were almost born into a family business, weren't you? Nick, tell me about that.
Yeah. So our auntie, past our auntie, all of our family are creatives. Everyone in our family. Our uncle is, what is the thing that he does?
Tromfloy,
yeah. If you've heard of that. Yeah. So he is a painter. Everyone's joiners, painters, whatever. Our nan still restores antique dolls and she's now 95, still doing it. And our auntie was a top makeup artist. Didn't really get it, but, you know, wasn't massively academic at school and was good at art and creative. So went down that road as well. She would invite us to come and assist her and work behind the scenes. So from the age of 14, I was working behind the scenes with my auntie, just cleaning brushes, the stuff that people would aspire to do.
Yeah.
We were already encouraged to do if we enjoyed that as a process.
Can you remember, either of you, the first time you put makeup on your face and thought, this is interesting?
I can remember the first product I bought, and I can remember one time putting makeup on.
But what was the product? You can't say that and leave it hanging.
It was Rimmel Pale Biscuit Foundation.
I mean, I think lots of us could say that.
Oh, but I mean, it was, back in the day, it looked like biscuit.
Do you know what I mean? It was grey.
Yeah,
it was
a grey colour. But if you remember, I was really very, very pale.
Yeah,
back in those days. And I was obsessed with fashion and beauty, and I was obsessed with the waif look, the one that I could never achieve, funnily enough. And so I went out and I bought all my makeup, and it was all in sort of brown tones, mm-hmm. and tried to make this kind of nude makeup. It didn't work. I remember my first MAC lipstick was Paramount, mm-hmm. which is literally the worst colour you could ever put on me.
Mm-hmm. Not good for you.
Terrible. And my second was Marrakesh. So, you know, there are certain things that I remember. Yeah.
There's a theme to the 90s in this.
Yeah. You love the 90s.
I absolutely adore it. Yeah. I adore it. I just posted an IGTV this morning doing a 90s look. It's just in my blood, I think.
You're both, I would say, advocates of getting things a bit wrong and learning how to get them right. You often say, oh, I've got that a bit wrong, I'll just wipe it off, don't you?
Well, I think it's really important that, for one, being a parent as well, that we teach people that mistakes happen and you learn from them. Sometimes not, but quite often you will learn from them and you will try to find a better solution. And that's how we've learned the whole way along.
We've talked about this a lot in private before, about the difference between a shop floor makeup artist, bridal makeup artist, for example, and a fashion makeup artist, because you are putting makeup on real faces. Mm-hmm. You're putting makeup on faces that aren't necessarily model-like. They're not necessarily very young. They don't have impeccable skin and so on. And that teaches you a slightly different discipline, or a very different discipline. And that's been really grounded in your career. So what are you seeing? Unlike makeup artists who work with models every day, what are you seeing in real women that are the most kind of common mistakes that women could make to feel better about their makeup look?
Foundation is my main thing. Is a lot of women and men might just ask a friend what they use and won't look into what their skin needs are, or they might just grab one and it'd be the wrong tone, or it might oxidise. And I do find that foundation is the stickler that can change how you feel completely. It can brighten you, it can lift you, it can be fuller coverage if you feel that you need that, it can be less coverage. And I think that's the one thing that I find is foundation is the hardest thing, and concealer, and probably why people ask so many questions about those things.
Yeah.
They're and the I two think things.
It's the biggest part of facial real estate, isn't it? It's the big bit.
And for me, it's where you spend the money. You know, I think if you are going to invest in something, you invest in the right foundation for you. And I think that there's still a lot of confusion about the language that's used when it comes to foundation, because people, they're like, what undertone have I got?
Yeah.
You know, what kind of skin have I got? And I think that you can figure it out just by looking at the bottle. Sometimes if you want a matte finish, often the bottle, the glass on the bottle will be matte, and it will say long lasting, and it will say mattifying. But equally, if you want something luminous and light and dewy, you're looking for sheer and luminous, and you know. So
you
I think
sort of develop the shorthand, don't you? If I see a matte bottle, or if I see something that says long wear, I'm like, nah,
not for me. Exactly that. So I think that sometimes people don't realise that.
The thing about makeup, I always think, and I really put this in you together, because I think the way you kind of broadcast and do makeup is very democratic and kind of egalitarian. I do think makeup's the one aspect of beauty that everybody can make themselves look better, right? Everybody can make themselves look a little bit better. What would be the one thing that you would say will definitely make you look better in an instant?
To me, eyebrows. Eyebrows is such a big one, and I can see from eyebrows. I mean, if I walk into a room of makeup artists, I can see who's really, really good at makeup just from how their eyebrows look.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big one for me.
I think it's really tough, because I can see it's more when I see the person that I'll be like, do you know what? You don't need all that.
Yeah.
A little bit of this, or a little bit, you know, I can't pinpoint one thing, but every person will have one thing. Every person, it will either be, you know, that lip colour, you could go a little bit more vibrant with that, or, you know, you're not wearing enough mascara. All you need is a bit of mascara, but put some more on. You know, like our mum, she wears like one thin layer, and I'm like, mum, what's the point?
Yeah.
And she gets it out and it's so dry. I'm like, do you know that both your daughters are makeup artists that have so much makeup?
We could spare you a mascara, possibly.
But, you know, I think it's just
it's hard to say that one thing for everyone, but I do think there is one thing for everyone.
And I also think that sometimes we miss the subtlety of makeup because social media is so obsessed with payoff and pigment and blah, blah, blah. But actually makeup for me, absolutely, makeup for me quite often is about the subtle changes that you can do that actually aren't necessarily obvious to the naked eye. Do you know what I mean? It's just small adjustments.
It can just be one little tweak and you're like, oh my God, how did I not think about that? How did I not notice that? But we don't always notice in ourselves either.
Yeah.
So it's good to listen to.
And so how do you find that one little thing? You know, I always think, like, as we were saying about the counter artists, if you can find a good counter artist, they could be the best makeup artist you would ever experience.
Well, because we've known some phenomenal artists, haven't we, who started on counter, so many.
Pretty much all of my friends are now really successful makeup artists and we all started on counter together.
And what about you two? When it comes to makeup, how do your styles differ? And how important is one another's opinion about your work?
Our styles to the naked eye are quite similar, but actually very, very different.
See, I think they're quite different.
Do you? Yeah, I'm quite polished. Just because I prefer that. I really like 90s makeup, so I do quite like a polished look. Sam, I'm always envious of because she does the beautiful kind of more muted and really softly blended, which I really love. But it just doesn't look as good on me as it does on her.
I think there is a big difference in that I will do my makeup with the minimal amount of products because I don't like carrying it around.
Right.
So my makeup bag will be this big and it'll have 5 products in it, and Nick will take about 40 with her wherever she goes.
I take tons. Yeah,
so,
love it.
But it's really more out of laziness than anything else. I don't like being inconvenienced by heavy bags.
We've got loads of questions and we can keep chatting as we go, but you had so many questions, I want to get stuck into them. So let's go.
The Beauty Podcast with Sally Hughes is brought to you by Avon, where as well as buying from a rep, you can now shop Avon online for the same great beauty products. Try their best-selling cream-to-powder foundation, now available in a new matte finish. Browse online through thousands of fantastic ranges from makeup to skincare, perfume to body care, simply by visiting the online store. So to discover your new favourite beauty product, shop with your rep or just search for Avon online. Now back to Sally, answering your questions in the clinic.
Louise wants to know, what is Sam and Nick's bare minimum makeup routine? You know, when you have 3 minutes to do something before you have to hustle out the door, what are the things you would prioritise? Should we start with you, Sam?
Yeah, I mean, concealer for me is an always go-to, and the one that I love the most at the moment is the Bare Minerals Serum Concealer.
Love that.
Oh, it is insanely good.
Very thin.
For under the eyes. It's amazing.
And it blends through to the skin without needing anything else. It's such a brilliant product.
Yeah, I mean, if I had to go foundationless, I would just use that in a light under my eyes and a tiny little dot in a medium and buff the two together, and that's my skin. Done.
I reckon, although we're nodding wildly at concealer, I reckon you've got 1 minute left to put something else on. What are you having?
Okay, mascara. It would be a mascara, and it's the one that actually you recommended to me, Lash Power.
Oh,
I great, think it's amazing. Clinique Lash Power is brilliant. It's a great tubing mascara, and I've gone through a stage of wanting thick, kind of burnt twig eyelashes, all the way to something much softer and more natural. Now I sort of don't take the mascara even to the ends of my lashes anymore.
I'm literally not wearing mascara.
Just when I said that, I thought,
And that's very rare for me.
It's
I was
quite
on the
joyful,
train,
though.
And I thought, well, I'm wearing massive glasses, and actually,
can't just weighs the eyes down a bit. Well, I've cheated on the journey because I've had my eyebrows microbladed.
Yeah.
I've had Botox. I've had fillers. So literally,
I don't have
to do as much. I've cheated on this journey. I just need to get my eyelashes permed and coloured. Do you know what I mean? And then I'm already there, apart from concealer. Concealer would be my
concealer
go-to.
Instant.
Yeah, instant concealer and a little bit of Vaseline on my lips is my main thing that I go for because I just think it makes them look plumper. But on the school run, I just put a bit of moisturiser on because then I think my skin looks better anyway.
Big sunglasses.
It's more glowy.
Oh, the moment you've done your skincare, your skin looks completely different. Especially if you're on the dry and dehydrated side. When I wake up in the morning, I'm like, oh. But as soon as I've done my skincare, I think actually I could get away with whatever. But concealer for me, for sure. And I like a bit of blusher. It makes me feel a bit more alive. I could skip anything else if I really had to. Jay wants to know, what brushes do I actually need, especially if I use a powder foundation and a BB cream? Sounds like she uses them together, but we'll come back to that.
seems like there are so many, and I'm more of a handsy person. It seems weird to carry too many retractables on the go for transitioning from work to going out. So there's quite a lot in that question. Let's leave the base for now. What brushes do you actually need? I've asked you this before. She doesn't want to schlep around with a kit, and who does?
Minimal. Absolutely minimal. There's these new brushes that Real Techniques brought out called the Custom Collection.
You have one which in here, don't you?
I have two in there because I We're do think show it's
you.
A great
Yeah, you can rustle around. Well, they're it's a bit fine. Dirty Sam's got a makeup bag out.
I did my makeup on the train, but so they're not the cleanest. But I do think these are brilliant because I use them with many, many products.
And they're retractable, so they're not getting gunk and hair and fluff.
And you can get
different densities.
Retractable, but I use it on... So this, for those that obviously you can't see what I'm doing, it has a slide on the side. So you push the brush up and... The slide has little gauges as to how long the bristles will be, so you can get different payoffs depending on what you're doing.
So the shorter the bristle, the higher the coverage.
Exactly. Yeah. So if I'm using a cream foundation, I'm going to set it short, but if I want a powder, I'm going to set it to a long setting. Sure. And that is a great way of getting three brushes just in one. And then I would just carry, like, a base shadow brush.
Yeah.
That's it for me. Yeah. I'm super minimal.
You can do most things with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Two brushes.
Those were Real Techniques brushes, by the way, just in case. But we do design for Real Techniques. Mine are, again, Real Techniques, and it would be the setting brush, because I just love that for foundation and powder, and a concealer brush.
Is that the little one I like? The little fluffy, bigger than an eye brush, smaller than a face brush.
Yes.
I love
one.
That
it's
one.
Brilliant.
That's the best one.
Yeah. It's great.
Yes, because you can actually, at a push, do an eyeshadow with that. Totally. And a concealer and a foundation and a powder and everything else.
That's why it's my favourite. So I just, that's the most one I take with me.
What about fingers? Do you use fingers a lot?
When I used to do shoots, yes, all the time. There are times when hands are the best way to apply, depending on the finish that you want. I mean, obviously your makeup won't stay on as long when you use your hands. That's the problem with it. So it's great if you're a makeup artist because we don't require it to stay on very long. It's for a shot and then off we go.
Yeah.
But if you are wearing your makeup all day, you are going to want to use brushes. That's the point. It will last longer.
Yeah, I used to like using hands and fingers on other clients purely because especially when it comes to putting the foundation on or the skincare on, because I like to feel the structure of their face, and it gives you like also
that warmth is nice as well.
From a makeup artist's feel, you get to understand the person a bit more. It's really really weird, but it's kind of like
it's a level of intimacy, isn't it?
It is. Absolutely. So I will always try to do a little bit with my hands to start off with, so that people can actually feel my touch and get to know me and understand how gentle or heavy-handed I am and stuff like that. So I do, on other people, more so like to use my hands.
Evan wants to know, could I ask the girls their all-time fave product for natural brows, please? So I think it's fair to say, I think we should say that everybody sitting here has had their brows microbladed by the same person, Nez Hassan. And obviously that gives you a much lower maintenance brow. But for somebody who hasn't, because it's not cheap and it's not without its kind of risks, what would you suggest for a natural brow?
For me, I love MAC Shape and Shade. But it isn't easy to use. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put that out there. People do struggle with it. For me, I find it very easy, but also I'm quite technically skilled in that area. Yeah. So if you can't get on with that, then something like Tom Ford Taupe Brow Pomade is great just to pop through. But Shape and Shade for me.
I think the same as Sam, but it's quite difficult. My all-time favourite, I'm sorry guys, you can't get it anymore, I've bought them all, is the Shumare Brow Pencil. And it depends on the shade that you need. Mine is the hard formula in shade number 9, which is Seal Brown, purely because you can't make any mistakes with it. It's so hard that it's not waxy when it goes on the skin, it doesn't rub off. So I always would like that when I go on holiday as well, because the hardness means it stays put and not waxy. So.
And in terms of brow gel, there's the Surratt Brow Pomade, which
love
is
that product.
Fabulous. The best, really.
If you want a gel, if you get one with fibres in it, then you can kind of skip the pencil if you're not that skilled and thicken them up. But I can strongly recommend an actual pencil from an art shop.
Yeah.
A kind of grey, hard pencil is a fantastic brow pencil and completely non-toxic. Someone asked me on Instagram, what about the lead pencils haven't been made With lead for, you know, centuries. Rachel wants to know which products to splurge on and which to save on. This is a really key question for lots of people because people don't get sent all the products.
Yeah.
And where can they be high street? Where do they need to spend a little bit more money?
Okay, so in terms of lips, everything can be high street as far as I'm concerned. Lip liners.
Lips and eye pencils.
Lips, everything. Eye pencils are pretty good at drugstore, as Nick said. Eyeshadows tend to not be so great. I would spend money on eyeshadows if you're a big eyeshadow wearer. Mascara, totally fine to go drugstore. There's some brilliant ones there. Foundation is where you spend your money as far as I'm concerned, and probably concealer as well. Powder definitely should be higher end.
I agree.
Anyone
completely.
Else?
I sent you a ton of lipsticks, didn't I? And you're not snobs, either of you, because you do quite often say, oh, no, I love that, and it's really cheap.
Those Avon ones you sent me.
The nudes. The nudes.
Oh, I love them. I tried every single one, and there was about three in there that
the
I was obsessed
nude.
With.
Yeah.
Absolutely Avon have done some brilliant... This isn't like...
No, you're under no obligation. No, none
but,
of us.
They've done some brilliant stuff. Remember that Super Shock eyeliner?
Super Shock eyeliner was amazing.
When we first used it, and they were like, what's happened? Who's used our eyeliner? Because everyone keeps ordering it. It was fantastic.
Actually, I haven't even tried that. So
do you know what? I now you just said, we've said Avon. Avon might have been one of my first makeup products. Ginger Freeze lipstick.
Oh.
Yeah. That was also
mine was Copper Knockers Selfridges. I looked like a corpse.
Copper Knockers. I love
Copper
it.
Knockers.
I looked like
good
a
name.
Corpse. Miss Selfridge used to do amazing makeup back
yeah,
in the
Yeah, they did.
Anyway. We digress. So you're saying eyeshadow, foundation, concealer,
and powder
needs to be on the upper end. Mm. Lips, pencils, mascaras, nail polish.
I think probably brows need to be the upper end as well because you can't get any good colours.
Well, it's better now.
It's better
than it was.
And I did try that. Is it Maybelline kind of one that had the
tattoo?
Yeah, it worked well for a day.
They need to be.
Dried out.
They need to be cold, flat colours, don't they? Brow
they're
products.
They're all quite rich.
Yes, you don't want warm.
Yeah.
Because eyebrow hair is not head hair.
No.
It's different. Deborah wants to know, eyeliner for the over 60s, what works best? For example, tight lining, waterline, yay or nay?
Depends on your eye shape and your eye size, really.
I love a waterline.
So do I. I'm like, yay. Whatever makes you happy, yay.
Yeah, but also, yay, on your waterline, you could put a nude there. You know,
yeah.
When I do work on other people, I rarely leave the waterline, the natural skin tone colour that it is, unless it's an insanely no makeup makeup look.
Mm-hmm.
I almost always, if I would even just go for something that is the same colour, but still make it uniform, because it tends to be quite a bit of pink under the eye on the waterline. So it's good to neutralise that a bit.
In fact, it might be a good opportunity. So Deborah's saying what works best on the over 60s, for example, tight lining. Nick, can you tell us what that means for anybody who doesn't understand what tight lining is?
Tight lining means putting your eyeliner on the top waterline. So, and in the lower waterline as well, but it tends to be the top waterline where you put your liner so that it makes the eyes look bigger without it having to go on the top as well.
So underneath your eyelashes, that kind of fleshy bit there.
Yeah.
Can a lady over 60 still wear a feline flick? Or would you do something slightly
might
different?
Might be a bit softer. I might use a feline flick, but use an eyeshadow instead. So it's a little bit less. The problem is, as we age, our eyes aren't as solid around that area. The skin's a little bit softer and it's harder to get that sharp flick. So I would use an eyeshadow, which is kind of a bit more soft focus. You can still do that flicker. You still see it's a flick, but it doesn't have to necessarily be so uniform.
More eyeliner questions. Jenny, eyeliner 101 to make small eyes bigger. So what's your go-to trick to make a small eye larger looking?
If your eyes, right, everyone, think about your eyes. If your eyes are close together, then you want to make them look wider, you're going to put the eyeshadow to the outer corners of your eyes so it makes them look wider. You can also use a lighter colour in the waterline. However,
that's the most common one, isn't it?
Don't go too light. Don't go white. Because it's a very different effect, I feel.
And no one's eyes are white like that.
It can look a bit harsh and actually draw more attention to it.
Yeah.
But if you find a flesh colour or even a flesh colour that has a slightly gold fleck through it, can be really, really beautiful. That's the best way. There's so many ways to manipulate your eyes and change the shape of them that you would be happier with.
And also you can double that up by using a cool brown, very soft, almost like the natural shadow that's in the socket of your eye, and you just run that low underneath the lash line. So don't put it right up high where your bottom lashes are, but just run it a little bit lower than that, so it gives the appearance. That's an old stage trick, but it does work.
I do that almost every day of my life. Joanne asks, God, we're very eye-focused today. I think you two are just so known for that. But Joanne wants to know, and it's a question that comes up constantly. I've got hooded eyelids, and now I'm in my 40s. They're getting even hoodier. I love a smoky eye and a dark liner, so what's the best way to achieve that look while disguising the hood vest? Or what more flattering look could I try instead?
Oh, Joanne. Well, I actually think hooded eyes
are... Oh, they're the most sexiest eyes.
The best eyes. And I am a little bit biased because my eyes are now very hooded. For me personally, I would not try to make it too perfect. When you make it too perfect, you're going to struggle because our eyes aren't that perfect shape anymore. So start with a cream shadow.
Or maybe they are the perfect shape.
Well, yes.
I mean, start
with a cream shadow on a soft brush. So you could... I'm going to give you a set of colours that are browns, but you might want to change this up for greys or something if you like. So something like Groundworked Eye Paint from MAC, that's a cream. So you're going to paint pot, yep. Use your brush, just pop that all over the eye. Now, when you do this, don't close your eyes. Hold your mirror directly in front of your face and look directly into the mirror so that you've got your eyes open and you can see exactly where your placement is. It's very important that you have your eyes open so you can see where you're starting and stopping, because doing your makeup with one eye shut is pointless. Mm-hmm. When you open your eye, it all moves around and disappears.
Yeah. Go a bit higher than you naturally feel comfortable.
Absolutely. And we're going to completely avoid the socket line because we lose our socket line. So then you're going to move on to another eyeshadow. It could be matte or it could be shimmery if you like. Let's go with Mulch from MAC as well. And you're going to use a different brush that's slightly more firm this time. And you're going to push this from the lash line upwards. And you're going to blend upwards towards where your crease is or was. Again,
because your bone is still there.
Totally.
You can feel where it was.
And then keep your eyes open while you're blending this. And then if you really want to, that's when you can add a little bit of a smoky coal just at the very lash line, on maybe on the outside corners. And that is the perfect smoky eye for a hooded eye, I think.
Because people forget, I think, that a smoky eye is a technique, not a colour.
Yeah,
totally.
I think people think smoky eye is grey.
Yeah.
But actually, it's just a technique. It can be blue, it can be green, it can be purple, it can
absolutely
be anything.
Totally.
Patsy wants to know, how do I conceal a spot when the skin is a bit raw, post messing around with it and having created a mountain out of a molehill?
Welcome
so
to
she's
my world.
Got a breakout. Her skin's a little bit raw, but now she has to cover the bugger up. What
right,
does she
this
do?
This is one for Nick because she's such a picker. Go on, Nick.
Welcome to my world. Firstly, it depends how fresh it is. Please say that it's not straight before you put your makeup on. But if it is, fine. Leave it till the last thing you do. Then it will have time to get a little bit of a crust or head over it.
A bit drier.
They all sound awful. If not, place your finger over the top of it for a little while so it has a chance to kind of heal itself. You know, like when people have a cut and you're like, put your hand on it, stop it bleeding for a little while. Then you're going to do your makeup as normal. Use your concealer as normal. You're probably going to need two different concealers. One that is slightly more, a bit more like the Bare Minerals one that we spoke about first. And you're going to buff that slightly over the blemish. Make sure it's the right colour for you. Buff that over. And then you will see what you have left. I would then get a slightly smaller brush, something that's quite pointy, and get a concealer that is the perfect colour for you. I would tend to go for MAC Studio Finish.
So you're talking about quite a heavier concealer, number two concealer.
For number two. And then I would just get a smaller brush and just softly glide that over the top of the blemish. If you feel that that's not covered enough, then get a soft powder. Powder over the top of it. If it takes that off, go back in with your concealer that has the slight, the more coverage one, and push that over the top again, and then push a powder over the top. It does take a few more layers, but honestly, it will disappear.
Sandwiching up with powder is helpful, isn't it? Because
massive.
You're drying it out, you're matting it down. I would also add that spot patches are brilliant. You can put makeup over them and they stop you from touching
That's such a good thing.
And they absorb all the moisture. They're really, really good. There's a column on them in The Guardian, actually, from quite recently that I did. They're really, really good now. How to conceal dark age spots without looking cakey?
Again, layering.
really that soft same layering. Technique. Yeah, that soft layering, trying, really layering and buffing. Don't try. And this is something people do a lot, is they try to go heavy-handed and get it done quickly.
Yeah.
These things have to be slow and buffed and blended. And, you know, you could get a Dermablend foundation or concealer, but it's going to have maximum coverage because that's its job. You want something that's buildable and light, and you build and you work with it.
I think that's, you know, generally we want to wear the minimum amount of coverage that we can get away with on our skin.
Yeah.
And sometimes when there's a bit of a breakout, there could be the tendency to go for a super full coverage foundation all over the skin. But the aim is really to go for the minimal amount that you can and just put the coverage where you need it.
Eva wants to know, any advice on oily eyelids causing mascara to always transfer and smudge into lower eyelids?
Your oily eyelids, then you can wear a primer. I'm a big fan of the NARS Pro Prime. I think that's a great primer for the eyelid. And also the other thing is maybe try your tubing mascara.
Switch to tubes would be my advice.
Yeah, tubing mascara.
That Be Perfect lid primer is really lovely and affordable.
It.
And I actually quite like using an eyelid primer under my eyes as well.
Do you?
Yeah, I think it's a brilliant thing. As long as you get one that's the right colour, use your primer right the way around the eye.
For anybody who doesn't already know, a traditional mascara is made of wax, oil, fibres, dye and so on, and a tubing mascara is made of polymers, so it can't smudge because it coats each lash with a polymer. But what I do, if you have really puny lashes, which I absolutely do, is I'll use a traditional mascara, get a few coats of that on, then lock it down with a tubing mascara at the end.
That's what I do with when I want to wear waterproof mascara because I hate removing it.
Emma wants to know how, she already uses Becca Corrector, big fan of that, and concealer over the top, but I'd appreciate any tips on what eyeshadow eye makeup may help take away the emphasis on naturally dark under eyes. So that's a good question. She's not asking, she's got the coverage down,
yep.
But she's saying what can she do to her eyes to maybe take the emphasis away from a dark circle?
Right, so we're talking about on the actual eyelid now, aren't we? So I have the same thing, absolutely the same thing. I'm dark the whole way around my orbital and I conceal underneath and then I use my natural eyelid colour as my eyeshadow quite often.
Mm. Yeah.
So a lot of the time I will keep to my natural eyelid and then I will just pop a little bit of liner along the lash line, buff it out with a brush and you're ready to go. So, I mean, use it to
your advantage,
really.
You're kind of working
with
it.
Yeah.
The only thing that I change, I'm very similar to Sam, the only thing that I do change is I put a tiny bit of concealer just in my inner corner. What do you call that bit?
So it's in the kind of bud, isn't
tear
it?
Duct.
Yeah. The tear duct and the bud of the eye.
But on the top of the eye.
Holly wants to know, I find oil-free foundations and even tinted moisturisers that are oil-free, very drying, and I have to work them into the skin really fast, otherwise I end up with clumpy little bits all over my face. Should she be using primer or specific skincare to use before applying to prevent this? Straight away, I'm going to say, before Nick takes over, your clumpy little bits that roll off your face is silicone.
Yeah.
And you need to not clash silicone. So if you've got silicone in your foundation or tinted moisturiser, you need to wear a silicone-free moisturiser or vice versa.
It drives me crazy, those little bits that just roll off. The reason you would wear a silicone-based primer and then an oil-free foundation, I'm thinking you probably have big pores, so you want the silicone to lay over the pores so it gives you a slightly more flawless finish, and then you would put that foundation over the top because you think that that will be matte as well, if that makes sense.
The other thing she could do is she could wear a primer just to make an oilier foundation stay put and not have to wear an oil-free foundation. If she chose a foundation that had oil in it, but if she's worried about it wandering off, she could use a primer. There's a brilliant silicone-free primer. I just did a column on silicone-free primers, so they're very much at the front of my mind. There's one by NYX called Honey Do Me Up that's,
I think
that's
they have
cheap.
That.
And it's got no silicone in, and it gives you really good glow and grip.
Yeah,
I love the NYX primers.
It's like gold glitter through.
Yes, although that doesn't really show up, and it's annoying packaging, but it's a good product.
You can't have everything.
So you're suggesting a silicone primer and a non-silicone foundation, or vice versa.
Or vice versa.
Angie wants to know, I'd like to know which makeup application techniques are the most ageing and what to do instead. That's a really good question. What do you think when you see someone do their makeup, you think that's making you look older than you are?
I think that the wrong kind of powder can be. I think baking is the most ridiculous thing on earth. I don't know who that looks good on. It basically, it just creates so many layers under your eye. They're not uniform with your foundation, and it just looks, it makes the under eye look so much older than the rest of your face.
There's no sebaceous glands under your eye, so why you'd want to dry it out with powder?
It's so weird, yeah. Because they want to show up those little lines. No, we all want to show them up, don't we?
I think it's this essential need for everybody to have concealer that doesn't crease under the eye. Concealer creases under the eye. It's supposed to crease under the eye. Unless your eyes don't blink, it will crease. Anywhere that your face is moving.
Your eyes are always moving.
Of course, anywhere your face is moving, you will get creases. So that would be my number one that makes people look older.
Yeah, I also think full face of really heavy makeup, unless you have a problem that you want to correct, and loads of contour. Because as we get older, we're not as full in the face normally, and contouring can be very, very aging.
I agree.
So I saw there was a lady on the train this morning, and she had, bet you clocked it too, full makeup on, full false lashes and full contour, and I was like, I can't actually put an age on you, but mm-hmm. I actually think you're older than I think.
Mm-hmm. Marie wants to know, best technique for lip contouring, making lips appear bigger. Now, we were talking about this last week, so I've got wonky lips. One side of my lip is lower, my top lip is lower than the other, so I always make it bigger with a pencil every day. And it's pretty quick and easy to do. So what would you suggest that this lady does?
I would suggest, yes, overdrawing the lip a tiny bit on, was it both lips or...
It wasn't
a problem, was it? She
wants
to make them look fuller. Okay, so I would use a lip liner all over the lip, probably something that's quite... I like the quite waxy ones, kind of like the Charlotte Tilbury ones, because they look like lip texture when you mm-hmm. put them on, and they don't move too much. And then I would get either a shade that's a shade darker than my natural lip line and just draw it around the outside. Now, you don't have to go massive. Just go, to start off with, go over your lip line. I mean the other side of your lip line. One pencil line over. So you're not going massive with it. And you're going to use a colour that looks like a shadow. That's the sort of colour you want to go for. Whether it be, at the moment I use Charlotte Tilbury Iconic Nude around the outside. It's quite a brownie one. It's probably not as flat as I could go. But if not, I would go for something like MAC Stone lip pencil and just really buff it in so that they blend together and it naturally makes the lips look fuller.
Christina's saying, I like to top up makeup base after work before going out, but some foundations don't work well when reapplied after a full day at work. Can you make any recommendations?
Yes, I can. You need Fix Plus. Fix Plus is a product by MAC, which is a spritz, and I like to think of it as a kind of refreshing spritz.
Mm. Lots of brands do them now
as
well.
Yeah, like... they're everywhere, but not kind of your Urban Decay setting spray.
No.
This is sort
not
of
the all nice freshener.
This is a freshener. So you want that kind of thing. And what you do is you spritz it all over your face until your face is pretty, not soaking wet, but
glowy.
Damp, glowy. Then you're going to take a buffing brush and you're going to buff all that, a clean brush at this point, buff it all. Then you can start all over again.
I think even Avène do one of those mists.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's worth saying that those sprays, very often, they're not in the makeup range, they're in the skincare
Absolutely.
Range. So you
yeah.
want a freshening.
And you just spray it, but the Avène one comes out quite, you know, like when you stick your head out the window of a moving car and you're like, yeah. I can't breathe.
Oh, really?
So make sure you hold that one a little bit further away from the face.
Jen wants to know, any tips for fab Christmas party makeup? Something that's fun and seasonal but suitable for a 40-year-old.
Oh, Jen, well... most things are suitable for a 40-year-old, darling. I think that I'm sort of in love with the MAC Christmas collection, which is completely, completely demented if you've looked at it. The colours are...
I can't do the lips, I'll be honest.
Do you know,
I can't do the lips. They're a little
the
bit too metallic.
I did the lip on my eyes. And it
nice.
Was magical. The Spellbinder eyeshadows,
fantastic.
I absolutely
yeah.
love. Just pop a little bit of that on your eyelid with your finger and it is... you're ready to go.
I mean, glitter's never wrong at
you
Christmas.
Can't, no,
that's what I was going to say. And if you're not a glitter fan, this is another MAC product, but I think they nail it, Reflex. Their Reflex yeah. are just so gorgeous. If you don't want to wear any eyeshadow, Reflex Pearl is the most beautiful diamonds on the eye that aren't big glitter chunks. Reflex Bronze, Reflex Gold, they are my favourite thing, and I will even use them on brides as well.
What about... because I love glitter at Christmas, and I quite often get asked by readers saying, am I too old for glitter? But I always think it's shimmer that's aging a lot.
Absolutely.
If you have a big old chunky glitter, you can wear that at any age. So what are your best practices for glitter?
Glitter, I think, is beautiful as a liner. Nice. Glitter liner, just to add a little shimmer. Another thing you can do is, if you find the glitter goes under your eyes, get a little bit of micropore. You might, if you've got kids or anything like that, you might have some. It's kind of like tape that you use for bandages. A little bit of micropore on the back of your brush. Roll it over the eye, or even on your finger. Roll it over the eye, and it gets rid of all the glitter without moving your makeup.
Like you're taking fluff off a jumper.
Oh, it's so
for
brilliant.
Sure. But
so
also,
brilliant.
With glitter, don't try and make it neat. It's not going to stay there anyway. So just, I say, just take a finger, stick it in the glitter, tap out the excess, and just push it on the eyelid, and bang, you're ready to go.
It's been an absolute privilege to have you both, my absolute fave birds in the industry. Thank you so much for listening to the Beauty Podcast with Sally. I've had an absolute ball making it for you. Do remember to subscribe to access the entire back catalogue of episodes with special shows on acne, menopause, rosacea, best skincare practices, clean beauty and more, with a stellar lineup of doctors, dermatologists, leading content makers, makeup artists, cosmetic scientists and everyday women with something important to say. I hope to be back here soon with more shows, but in the meantime, take care of you and yours. Thank you.
Thank you.